Morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Excuse me. May it please the Court, my name is Karina Acevedo. I'm representing the petitioner, Noemi Monjes-Garcia, in this matter. To begin with this issue, Your Honor, I'd like to address first the congressional intent behind what is IRERA, the passage of the 1996 Act.
Basically, what are you relying on in terms of congressional intent?
Well, Your Honor, I'm relying on the fact that Congress had intended to reduce frivolous lawsuits.
Excuse me, what I'm asking, what sources are you looking at?
Yes, it's the Federal Register, the 96 Federal Register, which was given to the Department of Justice to implement Congress's passage of the IRERA Act.
This is a rulemaking function that they were performing, and the intention of Congress was specified in that document?
Yes, Your Honor. I have
it. That's unusual.
It's in the Federal Register, basically supplies the Department of Justice with the implementations of final rules. And it did discuss, moreover, the intent behind, the intent behind the amended act of the 1990 Immigration Act, which is the IRERA Act of 1996. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm quoting verbatim, it's to expedite petitions for review to redress the related problems of successive and frivolous administrative appeals and motions, and basically also to expedite both the initiation and the finality behind these procedures, these deportation proceedings, to close them, basically.
I mean, I don't know quite what this has to do with problem.
Your Honor, what I'm going to argue basically behind the intent is that circumstances have changed, policies have changed. There's no finality to these cases, really. As it affects my client, temporary protective status has been given to my client, to many others, that works as a stay of deportation. This was promulgated past 1999-98 to designated countries which have suffered national disasters, such as Honduras.
Okay, so she had temporary protected status.
Yes, she did, which is a stay of deportation. It doesn't give her any legal status.
But didn't that end at some point?
It does end, Your Honor, but for other cases besides mine, and also 245I, it hasn't. People can renew them yearly as the Attorney General designates the country and gives them a renewal period.
But what about for your client?
For my client, Your Honor, what she's relying on, she had TPS, what is called temporary protective status. Now she relied on 245I, which is the Life Amendment Act, Your Honor, which was enacted and expanded between 98 and 2001, giving aliens that entered illegally without inspection who could not adjust their status to a legal status to be able to do so. So she got married, Your Honor, basically, to a U.S. citizen who petitioned for her, and, of course, she was five-year barred. In the old act, the prior passage of the IRERA, she was five-year barred, orally noticed, therefore five-year barred from seeking relief in the form of adjustment of status.
Okay, so now the 5 years are up. So
the 5 years are up, and she's went to the service, Your Honor, yes. She went to the service, followed their instructions. They told her, we can't do anything with your husband's petition or to adjust your status. She followed their instructions of basically filing a motion to reopen and terminating proceedings before an immigration judge, which she did follow. What's the problem now? Now, not only has the five-year bar passed, she's no longer barred from seeking this relief from 1994. She got the order of deportation in 94. 99 is the five-year bar she applied way after. And now she's not only barred from that, but this now she's barred by a 90-day relief due to the passage of IRERA. So
is she barred? Isn't that the argument?
It's the time constraints that are trying to be imposed on her, which was passed after her deportation order was entered, Your Honor.
What's your argument that they shouldn't be imposed on her?
My argument is that it shouldn't, because there exists what they call an unexplained inconsistency here. I read a recent case decided by this court, which was Morales-Izquierdo versus Gonzalez, which stated basically that the same rule implemented or used in its analysis is what I'm trying to use here as well. It's that that rule was reserved for rare circumstances, Your Honor, such as when an agency provides no explanation at all for a change in policy, or when its explanation is so unclear or contradictory that we're left in doubt as to the reason for the change in direction. A broader rule will deny agencies the necessary flexibility to change policies in light of change factual circumstances, or change in administrations, or change in policies. Change in policies here being the You've got temporary protective status, which was applied after ERIRA was passed. You've got the 245AI, which is the life enactment passed after the passage. So all these people that have order of deportations prior to the passage and then may have been barred because they were orally noticed by a time-year period cannot even file a motion to reopen based on new light of new relief.
The 90-day reg is in conflict with the statute.
In the AMS, is that what you're speaking of, Your Honor?
Well, no, I'm just trying to nail down your argument. You're arguing that it conflicts. Now, was that...
I'm not sure it is.
Well, what is your argument?
My argument is that, Your Honor, there's the lack of sound reasoning. It's just capricious, basically, the agency...
That's what we're trying to find out. What is...
Well, the way the agency is implementing this law, the 90-day rule after the bar has passed, Your Honor. Two orders of deportations prior to the passage of these laws.
What you're saying is that she passed the 5-year point in time, so that's irrelevant now.
Yes.
So the question now is...
She's still barred.
Can the 90-day bar be applied to her?
Retroactively, Your Honor?
Retroactively. That's your position.
Yes, I'm saying that it cannot. Because the petitioner, respondents are relying on the fact that basically she was barred. They used ERIRA law to bar her, and now they're trying to use ERIRA right now to further bar her from seeking relief, Your Honor.
I see your point about the conflict and as part of the main issue on this thing, but where is this issue raised in your brief? I see references to a different section of 1003.23.
Yes.
But not a discussion of the particular argument on the deadlines of 1003.23b1. Where is that in your brief?
We did not address that issue because there was no 90-day deadline prior to the passage of ERIRA, so we therefore don't believe that it should be applicable now since respondents relied on barring her prior law, so why are they barring? They're further barring her with post-law.
You had no idea the BIA would make the ruling it did.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
That issue wasn't briefed before the BIA.
No, it wasn't, Your Honor, but it was brought up by the respondents, and I believe... there was a case that stated that if the respondents bring it up, they're not prejudiced. The court is not prejudiced in hearing it. I believe that's in Singh v. Ashcroft.
I didn't think the government even mentioned this. I think that at least at the IJ level, the BIA, I think, was the first time it was raised,
Your Honor,
right?
That mentioned that even if the 5-year bar applied to her, she still can't seek relief due to the 90-day motion to reopen from the day of the order of deportation is entered, which is part of the new IRERA law.
You want to save the rest of your time for
Yes, Your Honor, I will.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Nora Oscoli Schwartz for Respondent Alberto Gonzalez. The only issue here is should the 90-day rule be applied to petitioner. It's not retroactive. It applies to motions to reopen.
Well, has anybody ever decided that, including the BIA?
Well, the BIA in this case.
Well, the BIA's decision in this case is all messed up. I mean, first of all, they say the 90-day rule is being applied, but they don't cite the 90-day statute. Now, I'm willing to forgive that and say, okay, super. What they really meant to do was to cite the 90-day statute. They've never, ever said that the 90-day rule, in a published opinion, the 90-day rule applies to pre-IRIRA cases.
Well, these
where
are cases...
Where you had an in absentia deportation order.
Well, that's because the statute is clear.
Well, I don't know that it's so clear. How does it make sense? It doesn't make sense. You've got 90 days to reopen on the one hand, right? Okay, so that expired in her case. Let's see, January, February, March. I mean, plus or minus what? End of January of 1995.
May I correct, Your Honor? Under the statute, she had until September 30th, 1996.
I'll give you a second. 90 days would have expired. Then you get to the effective date of IRIRA, which is September of 96. So you add on 90 days past that, okay? And then she's forever barred from making a motion to reopen, if I understand your position.
Yes. because there are no exceptional circumstances, and she was advised of the consequences.
Well, that has not, I mean, see, this is the
point.
That
has nothing to do with it.
This is the whole point. You're, either the 90-day bar applies flat out, or you somehow got to reconcile it with the in absentia order issue, which is under 242B, I think is the number.
Forgive me, I may be missing something. I don't see a conflict. If you want to reopen an in absentia order, you have 180 days to say.
Just, you have agreed now, finally, that you don't have to get to rescind the in absentia
right.
order. Okay? So put that order aside, the fact that it was in absentia.
Okay.
Goes, right? Okay. So under your reading of the 90-day rule, it's a general bar.
Yes.
To anybody.
Yes, except asylum and changed circumstances.
Anybody applying for reopening, right?
Yes.
So it has nothing to do with this in absentia thing or with exceptional circumstances or
right.
anything
Right, that's passed. You're right.
Is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Okay, so she had 90 days from the end of September 1996.
Yes.
Beyond that, she has no ability to reopen, in your view.
That's correct.
Then how do you square that with the implicit recognition in 242B that an alien becomes eligible to adjust status after the passage of 5 years from the date of the deportation order?
Well,
is that just Pyrrhic? Is it meaningless now? I mean, how do you square it? That's my question.
Well, 2 points here. It doesn't apply in this case, and so that's a general application because her year.
What's it?
The 5-year bar. Because her 5 years was...
I understand, and that becomes essentially irrelevant as a bar.
Yes.
But it, if it's a bar, it means it's a, it was a bar to her being eligible for adjustment of status. That's now passed, so she's eligible to adjust status. You agree with that?
She's yes.
She's eligible to adjust status.
Yes.
But if she can't move to reopen... because of the 90-day bar, then 242B's conferring eligibility on her after 5 years is meaningless.
Potential eligibility, Your Honor, as counsel read...
No, it doesn't say potential. It says you aren't eligible for discretionary relief, including adjustment of status, until 5 years after the order is entered, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it doesn't say she's going to get it, but, I mean, it just puts a 5-year bar in eligibility. But after that, she's eligible. We've agreed on that, I think.
Yes, eligible to, yes.
She's eligible to apply, to yes. get her status adjusted. But she can't do it by moving to reopen.
Well, again, the answer to that is in the Federal Register that counsel read. In that, they say... we want to bring finality. We want to discourage.
I don't understand what that has to do with my question.
Because, Your Honor, it was to...
No, look, don't explain it at the moment. Just help me through the thicket.
Okay,
you need to give me your argument for why it doesn't matter. But have I misstated anything?
No, but the point is you need to make both. You need to have filed by 1996 or within 90 days... if you are otherwise eligible. In other words, if it is...
But she can't. She's not eligible.
She won't be eligible until 1999. So you're saying the Code of Federal Regulations sort of inadvertently modified what's otherwise a right under the statute.
No, there are two... She has to meet both requirements. It has to be beyond 5 years and beyond 90 days.
That's an absolute impossibility.
Exactly.
But I think her argument is that was never intended.
I disagree, Your Honor, because the point was to what happened before, there were no limits in time and number or basis for motions to reopen. Congress said, we want finality, we want a limit. So had she had an in absentia order in 1992 or 1991, and we've seen those, 1996, the 5 years would have been up, she could have met that deadline. But in this case, it was in 1994, she didn't reach it. So Congress is saying you have to have passed the 5 years and file within 90 days.
Well,
there are two bars here.
I think this goes back to Judge Reimer's original question. Okay, that's your interpretation.
Yes,
that,
Your Honor.
That this, this did away with the, after 5 years, you can apply to adjust your status. You're saying this 90-day rule did away with that.
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think you have
to. Well, it did in this case, didn't it? That's your argument.
You have to have, it has to be 5 years since that order, plus beyond 90 days from September 30th.
Now you're saying the 90 days, well, see, in this case it can't be, because 90 days from September 99, she had to wait till 1999. So in this case, it's an impossibility for her to both wait the 5 years and file within 90 days, right?
But that's right. That's right. But
okay, now my question is, who said that before? The BIA? A court? Or is this your interpretation in this case?
Well, in this case, I think the Immigration Tribunals applied matter of MS and discussed the five-year rule.
Matter of MS is irrelevant, as you can see.
Exactly. But the point is, they said she is subject to the time limitations. That is the only bar they addressed. She didn't make it.
Would you agree that the BIA did not give a rational explanation for all this, for its reasoning on the conflict here?
No, they didn't address the conflict. They just said you're time barred.
Exactly. Why should we not then be sending this back to the BIA? Isn't that the appropriate forum to address this conflict? Because there appears to be a conflict, certainly in this case.
Well, not in this case, Your Honor, because she would still be bound. Her 5 years were up in 1999, and she didn't file her motion to reopen within even 90 days of that. So she can't say that I waited 5 years, I had other eligibility, I waited 5 years, and then 90 days for my eligibility, I applied. She waited 2 years after that. So even at the most generous reading, even if you're going to extend it and say we're going to apply 5 years plus 90 days and ignore the September 30th bar, she doesn't qualify because she waited 2 years.
One possible reading is a tolling thing. Basically, you either file with 90 days of your deportation order, and then defer the ruling for 5 years.
That's possible.
That's a possible reading. Or another possible reading is you've got 5 years before you can do it, so then you tack on the 90 days after that.
Exactly.
But who said that? And
nobody.
I mean, that's you and me sitting here saying, and I mean, I've scratched my head to figure out a whole bunch of possible answers to all this. But that's not really my job.
And it's,
I mean, at this point, that's the job of the BIA.
Yes, but it's not your job in this case. It was hers to file with, if she wants to make the argument.
The BIA, sua sponte, tossed off the alternate ground of the 90-day bar. So she didn't have any obligation to respond to it at that point, and nobody challenged it. It hasn't been challenged until now. And we've now been coughed up a retroactivity issue, which could possibly be avoided. It's a constitutional issue that could be avoided depending upon how the BIA construes its own regulations in light of the statute.
It's possible, but even
why shouldn't we let them do it so we avoid making a constitutional ruling?
But it doesn't apply in this case. She cannot raise that argument. She could only raise it if she had applied within 90 days of her 5 years being up, if the eligibility had occurred within. She became eligible in 1996 when she married. By 1999, there was a visa petition pending, had been pending for 3 years. I don't know why it took this long to adjudicate, but the point is she could have moved to reopen within 90 days of the 5 years. In order to raise that argument and make it an issue in this case, she's 2 years too late.
Except that the BIA said it was filed more than 90 days after the immigration judge's decision, so he's referring to the 94 decision.
Right, but the...
That's absolutely inconsistent with your statements right here.
No, but the regulatory section that he's citing to is 90 days or September 30th. I think the board mentioned September 30th. So they said the IJ decision, but they were referring to the correct regulation.
Oh, really? You can tell that from this decision? I can't. I can't read the BIA's mind.
Well, don't they cite 103.23?
No, that's the whole point. They don't even cite the right statute. Mm-hmm. They cite the statute pertaining to in absentia orders. They don't even cite the 90-day statute. But never mind that. I assume that's what they meant.
No, the regulatory requirement said it 1003.2. And that's the promulgation of 242. But the point is, I understand that there's potentially conflict, but it doesn't exist in this case. She cannot make the argument unless she filed within 5 years and 90 days past that. She cannot make the argument that she was constitutionally, that there's a constitutional bar that affected her case.
What about the tolling concept that was raised a little while ago? Are you familiar with any kind of a tolling concept in this instance?
No.
Okay.
Are you thinking of a particular instance? Or
no. I think Judge Wardlaw raised the possibility of tolling, but I don't. I just wondered if you had any comment on that.
No, but that would be a discretionary.
Mr. Dreimer.
I'm flattered.
She's been thinking about this one for a long time.
No, it is interesting. I really appreciate the order to show cause because you helped us focus our arguments. And I my colleague did err in half the brief, and I do apologize for that. And thank you for the opportunity for correcting that. But, again, I would say that it's an interesting argument, but it's not this case. And the board should be given an opportunity to address it in a case which brings up the issue, and this is not that case.
All right. Thank you for your argument.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Acevedo.
Your Honor, I'm going to raise just a few issues here quickly. Basically, the I-130, which was the petition filed by her husband, was approved in 2002, Your Honor. She couldn't apply. She couldn't adjust till the I-130 was approved, meaning a visa was available for her.
Correct.
That's why it took so long. Basically, the 90 days till September 30th, 1996, which is that period. And, of course, again, she couldn't apply. She was five-year barred anyway. She couldn't apply until 1999. Now, this is my issue. I looked at many cases concerning motions to reopen. Most of them concern either lack of notice or that they were not orally notified as in Re MS. That's why the five-year bar was not applied in that case, and he filed timely. Now, what I want to look at is basically I went into the immigration law today. The five years wasn't waived, basically. So it didn't say, now, therefore, everybody who is five-year barred can now apply before September 30, 1996. Furthermore, the new law now bars them for 10 years, Your Honor. And it still doesn't mention a 90-day period. It mentions a 90-day period for in absentia orders that are not due to oral notice, that are based on exceptional circumstances, just like the old law, based on exceptional circumstances or lack of notice, which there's no time limit for. Interestingly enough, now it's a 10-year bar. You can't apply for 10 years if you're seeking to adjust. The BIA applied pre-IRA law to her plus post-IRA law to her, meaning they applied not only the 5-year bar, but now they applied the 90-day period that's for motions to reopen in general today now. In what's in the book.
What date did she actually file her motion to reopen?
She filed a motion to reopen, Your Honor. Let me just take a look. 2003. Her I-130 was approved August 4, 2002. She applied for adjustment, meaning now she could get a visa. She was prima facie eligible to apply for adjustment to seek status. And then when she went to her interview, she was informed, you've got to file with the IJ a motion to reopen because we cannot hear your case. The case is closed. You were ordered deported in 1994. She did that, and this is where we are today.
So suppose the 10-year bar applied to her. When would you have had to file your motion?
From on the day of the order of deportation. It's the same law, Your Honor. They just now made it tougher. They made it 10 years instead of 5 from the day the order of deportation is entered. So if it would have been 1994, it would have been 2004, but this is not what's happening here. They're applying her 1994, the law that was in effect in 1994 plus the 90-day rule that wasn't in existence when the law was in effect for her.
So they should at minimum be consistent, you're saying?
It's not, Your Honor. There just seems to be a conflict here that's just not working. The BIA addressed it, the IJ, the immigration judge addressed it. It's just that she's further barred. She'll never be able to adjust it.
So you're arguing that this is a constitutional issue?
I was looking into St. Cyr, Your Honor, the illegal retroactivity in these cases where Congress fails to make clear its express intent, where people are not able to seek relief because they're applying laws retroactively, barring them from seeking relief that they may be able to seek if it weren't due to this law.
Aside from the constitutional concept, doesn't counsel for the government have a point that under either standard, the 90-day or the 5 years, your client was at least 2 years late?
2 years late because she wasn't prima facie eligible for a motion to reopen. Right. One of the requirements is that you have to be prima facie eligible. If you don't have a visa available, Your Honor, and you don't have an adjustment of status, which is the next step after you just filed a petition, that doesn't mean you're prima facie eligible. There's a lot of fraud going on nowadays, unfortunately, with immigration. Just having an I-130 filed does not mean that you're prima facie eligible. When it's approved and you have a visa and you apply the next step, which is an adjustment of status application, which is the I-45 she applied, and she went to an interview with the service, then was she told, we can't, and that's when she filed a motion to reopen, Your Honor.
But doesn't this require a legislative amendment to correct this problem? Admittedly, there's a problem, but
there's an ambiguity,
is that something that we can do? That the BIA can do?
What
or
I'm
just
saying,
require
Your Honor,
governmental change?
I understand that this court power is limited to basically seeing if the law is not making laws. I understand that. I'm not asking for this court to make laws. I'm asking to interpret them.
What specifically, to get back to what Judge Reimer started with in the beginning, what specifically would you like, if you could have us do what you wanted to do, what would that be?
Basically, Your Honor, I'm going to go with abuse of discretion. They acted arbitrarily, irrationally. I also cited with the recent case back in March, which was the Morales-Izquierdo, basically as well, just stating that when an agency provides no explanation at all for a change, then this is what happens. We're here with an inconsistency here. And there's change in facts, change in circumstances, and Congress may have made their intent known that they wanted to close these cases and prevent frivolous motions. This is not a frivolous motion, Your Honor. And this case was closed, but the passage of ERA has made it conflicted with before the law before her should be applied to her.
The BIA kind of ends up with the same problem that we do, does it not?
Yes, it does, Your Honor. Yes, it does. But it further bars her. It says, 5 years, yeah, we apply the law before, but not only that, you still can't apply. Basically, that's what they're saying.
The time.
Yes, the time limit. The time constraints. Now, with the new 90-day, you still can apply.
All right.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you for your argument, counsel. The matter just argued to be submitted. We'll next hear argument in Rodriguez.